it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI and streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Play clock winding down. Tua on fourth down. Pressure coming. Tua in trouble. Down he goes. Milton Williams. The big free agent ticket in the offseason seals the game for the Patriots.
Mike Vrabel will have his first win as head coach of the New England Patriots, and trouble for Miami and Mike McDaniel. What a game. What a game. Back and forth we go. And in the end, New England has its first win in Miami since 2019.
So on the one hand, Keith, they never win in Miami. Rarely win in Miami.
Not with Vrabel.
They pull out the victory there yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And you go, all right, I didn't expect that before the year, just like I didn't expect them to lose to the Raiders. Drake May was excellent yesterday. Ramondre Stevenson, excellent yesterday. Gibson, big kickoff return. There's some things to hang your hat on in the game yesterday. But you look up, and it's the second week in a row that they have allowed what I would consider a mediocre quarterback, not a bad quarterback, but a mediocre quarterback, Geno Smith last week, Tua yesterday, to shred them. The defense continues to give up explosive plays. That's a defense, by the way, that yesterday was handed a 12-0 lead. Should have been 14-0, but they were handed an early lead to play from in front. They couldn't protect that lead. They wound up giving it up before the Patriots pulled out the victory yesterday. So despite the win, and we spent a lot of time crediting May and crediting their resiliency and their ability to take a punch and win a street fight, and they're not front runners and all these things, what's wrong with the defense?
Yeah, the defense couldn't tackle, couldn't like make stops when they needed to. I think not having Christian Gonzalez is like the obvious thing to point to. Like in this game in particular, you needed him because of the receivers. But even turns out week one, you needed him more than we thought. They've given up almost 700 passing yards. And I think the pass rush has been all right, right? They've gotten home. They've gotten some sacks. Friend of the show, the Milkman, he got a couple of them.
Yep.
So they've been able to get after the quarterback a little bit, but
they got some really, big ones late. In their defense, they got some big ones late. Milkman with the walk-off-ish.
But they haven't really covered
Spillane
all
had
that
one.
Well.
Landry had one. No, they've covered
They can't cover, and then they can't really tackle all that well. So those would be the two that really kind of jump out to you. But also, we mentioned during what happened that Joe Burrow got hurt. If you look at the rest of the Patriots' schedule, they only play three good quarterbacks all season. Now, they play one of them twice.
Yeah.
So there's a little semantics. It's four games. It's two Josh Allen games, a Lamar Jackson game, and a Baker Mayfield game.
Okay, so they go.
They don't play any other good quarterbacks. You could argue Geno Smith, fine. Tua, fine. But they don't play good quarterbacks.
Okay.
Three.
They go Rodgers.
Not good anymore.
Maybe Bryce Young by week. I think
Never
he'll still
was
have his
good.
Job by week four.
Never
we'll
was
see.
Good.
I like him. Two against Josh Allen. The first is on October 5th on Sunday Night Football. Then they get what should be Spencer Rattler.
No, thanks.
Cam Ward.
Rookie, but we'll see. Maybe a little bit better by week seven, but no.
Maybe Joe Flacco with Cleveland.
Whatever,
maybe
Cleveland.
Dylan Gabriel. Yeah. Maybe Shadur. Michael Penis Jr. Atlanta, nope. November 2nd.
Nope.
Baker.
Yep, Baker's good.
Okay. Justin Fields.
I don't know if he survives to week 11. He didn't survive week two.
It
Jake
will
Browning
be Jake
now.
Browning yeah. at Cincy. Who knows with New York? Probably Jackson Dart.
Probably Dart, who looked good against you in the preseason when you were playing nobody except for Duggar.
Then you get Allen again, Lamar, Fields, Tua.
Right?
So yeah, that's a lot
three
of
three good quarterbacks all season. So when you're
that's
like
a lot of mediocre to bad quarterbacks, but you've been shredded by two mediocre quarterbacks.
100%. So they gotta get better on that. But I think there's also like the if it looks like this against these guys, what's it gonna look like against the other? Well, they don't really play too many of the others. Obviously Josh Allen's in the division. We've already sort of given the division to the Bills. Right? That's not even a fight. You went into the year hoping for a wild card spot. They're 2-0. They're probably going to run away and hide with the division. That's fine. But everybody else is very beatable. And then it goes down to, all right, when does Gonzalez show back up? Because that really has been the biggest weakness thus far. And it should be. You take overall not the most talented team in the league. The one unanimous best player is not there for 2 weeks. Other guys like Alex Austin have to kind of step up. Carlton Davis has been both good and bad. Carlton Davis has been...
He was bad in the Raiders game. I saw the numbers for him yesterday. He wasn't targeted often. They went away from that matchup, but he didn't give up anything yesterday.
No. He helped the pick in the first week.
Oh, that's true.
He giveth any ticket.
He also mistimed the jump on 3rd and 20.
Yeah.
But okay. Text line says, and this is Guy from the 207. I'm sorry. Twitch chat says, one difference is the defense made the stop at the end, contrary to the last few years. So did they really make the stop yesterday?
They didn't score, I would say, the last two plays of the game, they got to him.
Achane stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
The Dolphins had back-to-back penalties to put them, instead of 1st and 10, to a 1st and 20.
Yeah.
So they made
the
stop.
Advantage.
They made the stop after that, but the Dolphins gave them a lot to take advantage of. But you're right, at least this team was good enough to take advantage of those boneheaded mistakes. Last year, probably wouldn't have been.
Well, watching Achane score before they called it back and said he stepped out of bounds, you're like, oh my God, this is like last year. This is like the year before where... Whether it's Drake May or Bailey Zappi or somebody like gets you a lead and then it's gone. So no, I guess in that sense, maybe a low bar, but whatever, they stepped over it.
So Mike Vrabel spoke earlier today, not just with the Greg Hill Show, but also with the assembled media. This was less than 2 hours ago. He gave an answer about Terrell Williams where he said Terrell Williams will be around this week and involved, but I don't know that it sounds like he's going to be super close to back on. As a coordinator calling plays anytime
I was soon. Alarmed last week. I was on our way home listening to WEI Afternoons. They started their coordinator
Sick
series.
Sick brag, bro.
No doubt. I was in my car, which I own.
Yeah. Ooh,
and,
nice.
Actually needs a lot of maintenance. But anyway, so I was listening to WEI Afternoons talking to Josh McDaniels, and they asked him about Terrell Williams. And I don't know if he meant it this way, but he said thoughts and prayers. And anytime you say that, you're like, oh, man. Now, it was a slightly more positive update today from Vrabel, but I have no idea what to expect for his his health, most important, but just like how involved with the team is he going
to
be?
Yeah, and you know, we want him to take care of himself, obviously. That's the number one thing. But now, what do they do in his stead? We both wanted Vrabel to call plays. He did not.
No.
Zach Kerr, I wouldn't say cleaned up a ton in the game compared to week one.
Yeah, but some of it, too, is like... Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't say they necessarily did.
They didn't look any different.
But also, a lot of the missed tackles, it's like, if you just tackle the guys...
Should be correctable.
Yeah, you're like, you're right there. So I feel like you might have called the right thing, and then the guy breaks a tackle and squirts loose. It's like, I don't know how much more you want him to coach that or you know, call something different.
Yeah, still a lot of explosive plays. Yeah. Still a lot of big plays. And again, what I would say is another mediocre quarterback who shredded you. So I'd like to see Vrabel call plays. My sense is they won... They'll do the same thing again next week, but if they keep getting shredded at some point, he's going to have to do that on defense. I know it's not ideal, but losing your defensive coordinator to a couple of different health scares, or at least a health scare a couple of different times, is not ideal. So Vrabel may have to do that. He also had an exchange. I believe this is how he started the press conference, if I'm not mistaken. I haven't heard it yet. Thumbs up, Nick. I believe this is how the press conference started today with questions about Christian Gonzalez. Let's hear how that went.
This morning... you said there was a chance that we would see Christian Gonzalez and perhaps he could play. Can you quantify that?
I don't know if I said that there was a chance, you know, the chance, right? That so.
Yeah, can you, is it a
slim chance?
It is.
It's a chance. I mean, it's a chance that a lot of things could happen. And it's Monday, and we'll figure out how he progresses along the week, and we'll see what he can do. And. Have him do what he can do.
Was there progression last week?
Continuing to improve, working hard, and you know, trying to get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
Get back. Does not sound like... Ooh.
Oh, get back.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
taking a shot at Gonzalez.
That was a shot at get back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. There's a chance. That's right. There's a chance pretty much anything can happen.
Yeah.
Chance the Red Sox miss the playoffs.
They get back on my...
Well, I don't know why you put that out there. That doesn't really help the situation.
Doesn't make a lot of sense.
He didn't
anymore.
Play week two.
I mean, there's a chance the earth smashes into the sun. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a chance a lot of things that happen. I wouldn't say that it sounds like he's particularly close. He's much nicer with Karen. Did you notice that?
Yeah, he didn't, like, ask her, like, a weird follow-up question like he did to Courtney.
How'd it go again with Courtney this morning?
There's a chance.
A good one?
I wanted to ask.
Courtney got a big ring. She's got a rich husband.
Great. Strange. Not awkward at all.
That's strange to me.
It's very strange behavior.
And I don't think that's personal to Courtney. I think and maybe his answer to Karen would fly in the face of this. Maybe it is more personal. I don't know.
Good subject maybe, change, though.
Yeah, it's just he sounds annoyed at the whole situation. He lashed out about Diggs, if you remember, at Phil Perry after Stephon Diggs talked to Diana Russini. He's like, really, Phil? Really believe? Where'd you go to college, Phil? You really believe that? And so I think there's a little bit of a pattern here, and there are different players in different instances. I think there's a little bit of a pattern where he's annoyed at a situation and he lashes out a little bit. I think that's what went on today. It's interesting. He kind of denied saying, oh, I think there's a chance he's going to play.
You literally said that. That was your answer. Or so we thought.
Yeah, a bunch of times in that exchange.
A chance.
Is what he said.
There's a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
I wanted to ask. Gordy got a big ring. She has got a rich husband.
Jeez.
Yikes.
All right. Okay.
Odd.
Yeah, it's very strange.
But I don't.
If I had to read it from here, I would say no. He's not gonna play.
I don't think he's playing this weekend. Giardi was on WEEI Afternoons on Friday. He said there was a setback with Gonzalez. It's the first time I've really seen that report. I don't know if it was a report or his kind of understanding of the situation. But if there is a setback, you can put him on IR. If he's gonna miss a chunk, if he's gonna miss 4 weeks, you can put him on IR.
Yeah, that's. Would help the team. You'd have an extra roster spot available, and you would think that's what they would do.
It would help him. It would help. Gonzalez is getting a lot of questions
that's
about,
sure you wouldn't ask him about
his effort
week.
And his contract and his involvement. And if you put him on IR, that covers the player. So
it saves us from that awkward exchange between Vrabel and Courtney.
Good point. So if there truly was a setback, put him on IR. He had a setback. You need to dial it back. Have him sit for the first 4 weeks. Instead, he's taking up a roster spot. Mm. He's not practicing in the meantime. The initial reporting was he'd be back for week one. He's not. Mm-hmm. You haven't put him on PUP or IR, which indicates you expect him back in the first 4 weeks. All of it's odd behavior, including his answer this morning with Courtney. He was much nicer with Karen.
He was.
As it turns out.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he just felt bad about how it went this morning on the Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, you can go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free. Easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. So that's the latest there. Meanwhile, David's in North Providence waiting patiently on the defense. Go ahead, David.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty great.
I got a quick question. Robert, Robert Spillane, he seems like he's missing a lot of tackles. Like, did this guy overrated? And why wasn't Duggar playing in the second half? He had a good first half. I'll hang up and listen.
Would you agree Duggar had a good first half?
Honestly, didn't really notice Duggar. I would say Spillane.
The only time
I noticed him,
he was on one of the big plays. It might have been the touchdown to Waddle. Now, it was Alex Austin, but he was involved on – I just saw him on the field on that play. I don't know if there was a situation where one was handing off to the other. I'd have to go back and watch it. That's the one time I noticed Duggar out there. Spillane hasn't been great. Through two games, Spillane has not been great.
I expected more. In fact, we had him as the preseason defensive player of the team defensive player of the year.
You, in fairness to you, you didn't want to do that.
No, I didn't. I wanted to go with Gonzalez, but to be fair to you, he hasn't played yet.
No, true. So Billy were talking up Robert Spillane. We're like, he's going to be the tone setter on defense. I thought you saw some of it in the preseason. I thought you saw some of it in joint practices and training camp. I thought that's what it's going to be, and he hasn't. He hasn't been that.
He has not.
Now, it's not like teams have run all over them.
No.
They didn't week one, and Achan, almost all of his damage was in the passing game yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's not like teams are running all over them, but, yeah, I don't think he's been great.
No, that's true. Yeah, a lot of Achan stuff was in the pass game, like you said. So, like, it felt like he had a big game, because he did. It just wasn't a lot of it was from running. But, no, they have a lot to clean up, and I don't know exactly how you do that. That's why I wanted to ask Ellis about it, because – you're not going to be hitting and tackling all week in practice, right? Like, that doesn't really happen. You're not tackling your own guys and stuff like that. But it's like, all right, on Sunday, go ahead and do it. And then they've struggled with that to this point. But, no, I definitely have expected more out of Robert Spillane.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line here for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. They'll be talking to Drake May this afternoon on a Patriots Monday, so stay tuned for it. One thing that when we talked to Christian Ellis, kind of got bumped to the side. Is the new kickoff rule, Keith? I'm curious your thoughts on it, given the wildness of yesterday's game. Malik Washington was a punt return. Antonio Gibson was a kick return. But we also saw the wild play in Pittsburgh yesterday. We saw big kicks, or kick returns, rather, the last couple of weeks. How do you feel about the new rule and the NFL getting more returns and, you know, hopefully, as we saw on Sunday, more big returns?
Yeah, so it's funny. I always thought the league was going to eventually just phase it out altogether, but they haven't. And so similar to how they made the extra point more competitive a few years ago, because like for a while there was a stretch where the extra point wasn't even worth watching, and then unfortunately kickoff and kick return wasn't even worth watching. And so the days of Devin Hester or Dante Hall or somebody doing like a crazy return was kind of out. And then even last year, they move it up, and now you have like the they're like 5 yards apart. So they're like, all right, this will be safer. But then teams were just blasting through the end zone anyway. So I like it. I like a kick return. I like the days of like the elite kick return guy making plays. And you've seen teams kind of tinker with it. Like the Patriots are going with like a lot of running backs, right? We've seen Henderson do it. We've seen Gibson with the return. And I think they feel like the way that the teams line up now, it's almost more like a running play than it would be just like that chaos of guys running 50 yards apart into each other.
You'd think you almost want like a shifty guy back there, but you're right. Like, it's more like plant and go.
Get through the first wave and then you can go. And that's what Gibson did yesterday. So short answer, I like it. I like more kick returns.
I think that's a good thing to have it be a competitive play and not just a tune out, you know, go to commercial while you go grab a beer or whatever. I think it's been good. And obviously the way it played out for the Patriots yesterday was a good thing. For the Pats, with him returning that kick to the house, a big play in the really the play that won him the game yesterday. So it's a good day to feel good about that rule. The wildness in Pittsburgh with the rookie Caleb Johnson, where he clearly didn't know the rule, and that's the team that's next up for you. Mike Tomlin always has winning seasons.
He does.
Mike Tomlin always has his team dialed in.
We'll see.
Not yesterday.
We'll see.
So that's the next team on the schedule for the Pats in Week 3. Here in Foxborough. We'll get to your thoughts again. 617-779-7.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lyman. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
93.7 WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. You can dial them up. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. And you got Drake May, quarterback of the New England Patriots, on a Patriots Monday. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.